Thanks for listening to Resume on Podcast One.
I'm John Horn. I'm the host of Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. I'm here with our very first guest, Rainn Wilson.
Hi, John. It looks like I'm the first guest on the Geffen Unclothed. Unscripted. Unscripted. Yeah, let's go with that.
A marriage made in heaven, I guess.
Or Westwood.
Tune in for some of our exciting upcoming guests, David Copperfield, Neil LaBute, Neil Patrick Harris, Josh Gad, Rita Wilson, and many more. Be sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on the Podcast One app and on iTunes. And don't forget to rate, review, and share.
And I'm Rainn Wilson, the first guest.
You are first guest.
This was a huge mistake.
Geffen Playhouse Unscripted.
Huge mistake.
And it's Resume. Thank you so much for tuning in once again. My name's Chris Loxamana, and this is the podcast where we dissect different careers, the highlights, the failures. Why wouldn't even say they're failures? Because I'm really excited about our next guest. He has risked. He's failed, and he's risked again. That's actually his motto, which I love. We got Toby Windham in on the show today.
Yo, what up?
What up, man? Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming in. He's coming. He has a new show, and it's crazy. It's called Walk the Prank, and you can find it on Disney XD or Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm a 31-year-old man, and I watched these, and they're funny.
It's good. Yeah, it's good, man.
Don't let the Disney or Disney Channel thing fool you. Watch it with your kids then. It's just a fun watch. Like make a night of it.
We go hard. Like the pranks are like legit, out of this world. All of them are totally real, and it's not like what people think Disney is. Like we're doing some really good pranks, and I know Disney has like this stigma, which I don't understand because I love Disney shows. I grew up on them. You know what I mean? Like
the biggest stars.
Come on, that's what I'm saying.
In the world right now,
they come from
Disney.
Let's go.
And also, like I have a lot of thoughts about pranks, which I want to talk to you about because I want to know what makes a good prank. I want to know how you guys came up with some of the stuff, some of your favorite ones that you've done. Because what you guys have to your advantage, and this could be because of the Disney thing, is you use kids.
Yeah.
And when something happens to you, and there's a kid, and you think, oh, this is fake. This isn't real. This is, you know, Ashton's gonna jump out of here in a sec. But then there are kids. You're thinking,
you don't think they'll do it. That's what makes it so good. That's why it's so clever.
Oh. Yeah.
And we have some of the dopest producers. Like our producers are Adam Small and Trevor Moore, and they're from Mad TV.
Whitest Kid You Know is
hilarious, dog.
Yeah.
And they're writing these things, man, and putting all these pranks together. And the kids they're what sell it, because just like you said, like people don't expect kids to be in this situation.
Yeah.
And what I do is I'm that guy that they come. I'm the low man, is what I call myself. Like you come in and you see me, and I legitimize everything that's going to happen. And it's like, oh, there's an adult here. Oh, these are his kids. Oh, these are two white kids. I'm not gonna ask any questions about that. I'm just gonna go with it.
You're the level-headed adult that's like, they look back to like, are you seeing this?
Yep.
Like if he's seeing this, then
if he's
like,
cool, then everything's good. And I'm like, it's good, let's go. So and that's how we get away with a lot of them, man. Like we it's trust, we communicate, and we pull off some of the dopest pranks I've ever seen. Like, and they're pretty elaborate. Like some of the stories, let me tell you. One time, this was season one, and we were doing one that was Karate Dave. And Karate Dave was, the kids were in detention, and I was the principal, and I had to go and watch other classes, but we brought someone in to just sit with this class. That's all they had to do while they were in detention. And they were bad kids, so we set up that they're really bad, don't let them talk, don't let them do stuff. So, and I told the guys, I was like, man, what's going to happen to this? It was like, so a grown man is going to drop out of the ceiling. He's going to hit the ground. He's going to do a karate flip. He's going to take this kid and take him out of class. And he's going to be like, I'm Karate Dave. And this is the setup was like, the kid was like, man, I'm going to break out of here in a second, Karate Dave. And I was like, this is never going to work. I was like, this is not going to work. Like, no one's going to believe that a grown man is going to drop out of the ceiling. And as soon as that happens, I would have been like, I'm out, man. Where's the cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Four times people believe this. And the man dropped out. He does a flip, picks a kid up, takes him out of the classroom, and they're just tripping. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then I come in and I'm like, where's my student? And they're like, so, and I'm like, explain to me what happened. They were like, Karate Dave came out of the ceiling. As I was watching this, I was like, I will never question another prank again, because as long as you believe, they will believe.
Yeah, that's true. And how hard are you biting your tongue just like to not laugh? I mean,
Is I'm pretty good. Like
you're just that focused, right?
I'd like to, because I know, like, I'm realizing now, it's like, time is money, like, for real. Like, we got four times to get this, and if we don't, then we're gonna move. So I make sure I'm pretty good, like, at my focus. There have been some times where I have broke, though. And it's usually when, one time that I broke, this girl got really excited. Like, she had to buff a floor, mm-hmm. and she got really excited. And so, like, part of the bit was like, hey, man, you know, if you buff this really well, this floor really well, you know, the janitor, will call you and he'll give you a call and maybe hire you on. And the girl was like, oh, really? And I was like, and I started, and so I had to play it off like, I gotta go get a cough drop, because it was that funny.
He just turned into a 90-year-old man.
It was too funny.
But I believe it, because he does. Right. Yeah. Dude, some of my favorite pranks are just like that, where it's just, you know, you get kids, but it's playful, it's fun, it's just so outrageous. Like, but then, you know, I go on YouTube, or I go on, you know, just like a Facebook video, and like people, there are those pranks out there, and some of them are just like taking it way far.
Yeah.
And for some reason, those just get like the most hits and the most views and things like that. And I don't know, maybe I just turn into a wuss, but I'm watching these, like, that's not a good prank. That's just mean. Like, you can't
some
do
of them,
that.
Man, when they like punch people and stuff, yeah. and I can't get into those. The thing about ours, man, is that somebody is always setting up their friend.
Oh,
and
I love
so
that.
It's always a joke. It's a joke that your friend brought you here. It's never on us. You know what I mean? We're not going out and being like, hey, do you want to get pranked? And we're going to bring you on here and we prank you. It's always your friend brings you on here and they know that you like jokes, or they know that you're scared of spiders. And so it just plays into our story. And like some of them, it's some mean pranks out there, man. And I, truth be told, man, I don't like pranks. Like,
really?
No, I hate that, because I'm afraid of my reaction. I like doing them, like, mm-hmm. to people, but I don't like being
pranked.
Yeah, I don't like being pranked. No. Because I'm like, what would I do in this situation? And I think I wouldn't be a good person, because I'm like, I'm pretty logical. And wait a minute, come on now. This is not about to happen for real. And so I think I'd be pretty boring for people.
Yeah. And maybe you're just the type of guy that instantly it's like, all right, where are the cameras?
Yeah.
Especially now.
I like to think so. Maybe I'm not, though.
Yeah, who knows? Now, it's April 1st. It was April 1st. It's April. So this whole month is prank month.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say. So, this is the perfect time for a show like this. And I just love watching people, I don't know, just, I like, if, as long as it's innocent enough and it's funny and like they laugh about it, then, you know, it's all fine. Like sometimes you see watch those shows and their faces are all blurred out because they didn't sign the release because they don't want to be part of the show. But how do you guys like find your marks? It's usually just like a friend that's like, hey, I want you to get my bud.
Yeah, no, we go further, bro. We have an accomplice team, and the accomplice team, they go out and they do I like to call them foot soldiers. They go out and they hand flyers out. It's like, hey, we got this prank show. If you want to prank one of your friends, holler at us.
Oh.
And they do a whole like surveillance of like, who is this person? Because we don't want like actors, because if you get actors, people be like, oh, this show is fake and all that type
of
stuff.
Yeah.
So they like go out and check on them and stuff. And then they find the best people for those pranks. And knock on wood, man, we have not had a prank that we did not succeed at.
Really?
And we do like four on every prank. We've done like 200 something now. And we've succeeded on everyone, man.
Because I used to watch Punk'd, and yeah, some of them would call out Ashton and be like, all right, man.
Yeah,
we know you're here. So like that's, and those are like celebrities, and like, so those are like very specific marks. But you guys, that's crazy.
The kids,
and
man.
Some of these pranks are just outrageous. Like you got that kid in like the big wolf suit jumping out of the fence and breaking out chasing everybody and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
that was a good one.
Yeah, so it's very elaborate. So everybody just check it out. It's called Walk the Prank. And just YouTube it, Google it. you'll find it, and it's on Disney XD, Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And just watch it. I mean, you got kids, and these are like really young kids, but very good, very convincing, and they're messing with everybody. So.
And check out like the storylines, the scripted stuff too, that you, because the pranks are all come from our lives on the show, like the kids' lives in school, kids' lives at home, my life in the joke shop, my life with like, I never have a girlfriend. So it's cool.
All right.
Check the show out.
Yeah, please check it out. And now, Toby, the show is called Resume. And you actually came in here with your resume, which is awesome. And it's like the your SAG-AFTRA entertainment resume. Like, you got your headshot.
Like
you got your headshot.
I thought it would help out, man.
Dude, it totally helps out. Because I love usually I get a lot of actors on this show, and I just love talking about some of the old roles they had, what it did for them, what they learned from it, things like that. And it's just, you know, even like one of my greatest, I don't know, just guffaws in life was one time I went up to Tony Hawk, who I'm a huge fan of, like,
yeah.
And I saw him, and I couldn't think of anything, so I just like, dude. So I took a photo with him, and all I could blurt out was, "Man, you were great on The Simpsons," and which sucked because he was on The Simpsons like 3 years prior to that, and he had like one line. He was just like a guest star,
but
that's the only thing I could think of. I mean, it was on his resume, and you know, he knew what I was talking about, so he said thanks. But it was just the most random thing. Like, I doubt he gets that anytime else.
But you probably made an impression on him from that.
Yeah, if you call out to like a smaller project, like an actor, like I don't want to see Tommy Lee Jones and be like, dude. Small Soldiers was awesome.
Wait a minute, he was in it?
He was like a voice. You know?
That's good. That's a fan though, man. Yeah. I would love that.
So let's talk about your resume. And you know, we'll even go a little bit before, like to the beginning, because you're from the South.
Mm-hmm.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Let's go.
So yeah, so what happened? Like how did you get here?
Born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama, man, and then grad school brought me out to the West Coast. I went to American Conservatory Theater. It's in the Bay Area in San Francisco. And
oh, that, dang, man.
So, come on, baby. Yeah, let's go. Classically trained. Let's get it.
Yeah, jeez.
I went there. I moved to San Francisco in 2007. And I stayed there for about 4 years. And then after that, I came to L.A.
So you knew you wanted to do this the whole time, right?
Oh, yeah. Like, since I was five, man, my mom threw me in modeling. And I started to like it. And then it was in third grade, man, I did a play. And I was playing the Big Bad Wolf. And right before I was about to go on, my mask fell off. We had paper plate mask and stuff. I had drew it. I had been working in class like hard on
it. Oh, yeah.
And right before.
Macaroni nose.
Yeah, it was all of that. And like I was like drew the fur and everything coming from it on the paper plate. And right before I was about to enter to do like my big scene, my rubber band broke. And the teacher was panicking, and I was panicking. And she was like, let's try to get it. Let's try to. She was trying to staple it. And I was like, no, my
staple
cue
to
is
your
coming.
Forehead?
No. Just back. And I was like, no, my cue is coming up. I can't miss this. I can't leave them hanging. And so I just like messed up my face and went out there. And the parents, the other students, man, they kind of liked me. And I was like, I think this is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. So,
yeah. And Karate Dave flipped in and grabbed
Karate
you.
Karate Dave got me. Yeah, we got out of there, dog.
Right after the encore, yeah.
So it started there, and then I did theater all my life, man. I went to UAB for undergrad. That's University of Alabama at Birmingham. Not the other one. Roll Tide, though. Roll Tide, baby. And then I went there, and that's when I really that's where I met a lot of my mentors, man, who really like they saw something in me and was like, all right, we're gonna invest in this dude. And so I was doing plays and stuff and got my first start. I did. I went to art school too, man. But that was really just that just trained me to be a good person. Like it was.
Sure.
I did theater there, but then I also wanted to play basketball, so I left in the 10th grade and I made the basketball team. But I had failed. I failed geometry at the art school, and I couldn't play on the team. I made the team, but I had to sit out the first semester. And then I made it again that second semester. But I was like, I don't even want to play no more. I want to
act. So your free throw just kept hitting like the bottom right of the backboard, right?
Because I didn't know. I was like, I couldn't figure it out. but the theater kept calling, man. So I did theater, went to UAB, moved to San Francisco, did grad school there for 4 years, 3 years, stayed there another year just to work, man, and then moved to L.A.
Oh, nice. And now you're on a... Now you're on Dizzy.
Yeah. I mean, it
there's a lot of stuff. Trust me, I got your whole resume here, and it is a full page, like, in like type 8 font. So it's definitely there. You got you've done a lot of theater.
Yeah, from the stage.
And is that like what's the difference you think like between the two? Because I mean, I could tell just by watching the acting. Like it's two different kinds of acting you gotta do, right?
Yeah. It's two different kinds. For me, it's focus. It's my focus is different for film and TV than it is for theater. Like the whole body is engaged at all times. My vocal warm up is very intense for theater, man, because I know that I have to reach that.
It's project.
Yeah. I got to reach that back seat. And for film, it's focus, man. It's like now my intention is where it's like theater. It's like I'm putting my hands out. Can't nobody see me, but it's like wide. And I know that I got to hit a whole bunch of targets. For film, it's like I have to know I have to focus on this one target that I have and make sure that they're getting the objective and everything that I'm sending. So it's really about focus.
So you have to funnel it in right in the camera, every little nuance.
That's it.
What do you prefer?
I think I prefer process, man, to tell you the truth.
Sure.
I'll take a good play and I'll take a good TV film show any day, man, because it's all about focus to me. I tell people like whenever I'm doing, I love the process of theater because you get like 3 weeks of rehearsal and then you get to that point of like opening night. And then after opening night, it's really hard for me because it's like, oh, now we got to do this 4 more weeks.
Yeah.
And so
and
like,
every
you get
night
to,
you have to bring it.
And
right?
That's it. But when, and we'll talk about it on my resume, man, I had an epiphany, man, when I had to do a show for an entire year. And I was like, after opening night, I was like, oh my goodness, now I got 12 months of like having to sustain this performance. And you know, and I love to bring nuance to everything, but in theater, you got people that's around you that they have worked this thing out and this is how it's supposed to look. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how it's supposed to move. But you still got to bring your, that vibrant thing, that everyday nuance to it. And so, having to figure that out is what brings me joy. And just the same way in film and TV, man, it's like it's a process all the way up to learning your lines and figuring out everything. And then they say action. You got to go, man. You got to go and figure out, all right, how do I bring life to this moment right now? So that's what I did. So I don't think it's a either or. I love trained staged actors, though. I want to say that. Like, I feel that that's a muscle that makes you dope. So,
yeah, I agree. We talk about this all the time on Adam's shows. David Alan Greer, we just think he's the man. Like he's
dude, and you can see him. You can see it translate, like from his stage to stuff he did with what was that, The Wiz, and then he'd come back and do his TV stuff. I'm sorry, I cut you off though.
No, you're right. You took the words out of my mouth. That's exactly right. Like it's just so fascinating to see, just the versatility. And precision and just he's an amazing actor.
Precision, that's a good word, man.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
And hey, but and you got a lot of theater and a lot of TV too. Like you do them both. So
let's go.
Yeah, you don't need to choose. I'm not asking you to choose one of them, like by any means. So yeah, if you serve both masters, then by all means,
that's it, man. I love them, man.
Yeah. So I also noticed on your bio here. Before we get into, like, half this podcast is going to be NBA 2K talk.
Let's go! I'm a beast, dog. You don't want to see me.
So we'll get into that in a sec. But I see you're in a second-degree black belt.
Yeah, in Okinawa Kenpo.
Yeah, what is that? I don't even...
It's from Japan. It's a style of karate. And I trained in it from when I was 6 years old all the way... Like, trained, like, for the Olympics from 6 years old till I was 16. And karate wasn't in the Olympics at that time. So I was just training so that I could get into it. And then when I turned 16... That's when theater really started to call and stuff. I started acting. And then I left it for 2 years. And then when I was 18, I really think this is dope. When I was 18, I was registered as a lethal weapon in Alabama because my sidekick was deadly, dog.
Like, really?
Yeah.
You had to register your heel?
As a lethal weapon, man. So, I think that's cool.
But did it expire? Are you packing right now?
I'm not a lethal weapon anymore. No.
Oh, okay. Damn. But, that's crazy.
But it's a cool style of karate, man. It's like... I don't want to compare it to Taekwondo because it's not Taekwondo. It's,
sure.
It's a like they we used the people that trained me. They used to train in the rice fields, the rice. What is it? Rice paddies?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's like a low to the ground type of stance and stuff.
Oh, and you actually compete in like tournament stuff? Because you said
I did. I use I have a whole bunch thousands of trophies, man. I did that from 6 to all the way to 18, man, and I still train now, but that was like where I was getting my legit like everyday training. And I went to tournaments all over the US, man.
How do the tournaments work? Like it just you just go, it's just like bracket. I'm just thinking of Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just bracket style and you just get a point for every clean hit or what? Like I don't understand
No, it's totally
the rules.
Like you have your age group and also your belt group. So I was like, I'll be in the black belt. Like right now I would be in the black belts and 30-year-olds and stuff, and you get points for clean hits, like hit to the head, boom, and
hit to the head counts.
Yeah, yeah, that's like 1 point, man. That's,
oh, you
that's
want
good.
That?
Yeah, yeah, you
oh.
want it. You want it all, and they got to be clean, like you said, like make sure that they're visible and stuff, and that's it. And then they put you, and it's so cool to be in that atmosphere because you feel everyone's nerves, and you got people that are doing katas one place, and then all of a sudden you feel the tension changed because now we start sparring and now that's the hand to hand combat and stuff. So it's cool.
Do you ever incorporate that in any of your roles? Like, you know,
oh,
you
yeah.
could be an action star.
Dude,
you know?
I love that, dude. Wesley Snipes, like back in the day, Passenger 57, one of my favorite movies, man. I thought I was going to be Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. That's probably where you learn a few moves, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. His sidekick is probably, yeah, right.
It was lethal. It was lethal, dude. I remember that. Gotta go. Boom.
Yeah, I there's a guy in my high school who had to register his hands.
Yeah.
And that's just the ultimate, like, badass.
That's
thinking,
it,
like, oh, well, his body is a lethal weapon. How does that work? So you just go into, like, how do you register? And what makes the decision for you to register it?
I don't know, man. My karate teacher did it. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, I never had to go to the courthouse or anything. I didn't have to go to the courthouse or anything, but I got, like, But I think it was so many. I won so many things in a row, like so many trophies in a row, that now you like entered, like you have to register to be a lethal weapon because you kind of legit at this. And so I had like a certificate and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I would frame that.
I have it somewhere. Man, my mom has it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, if you find it, you should post it on Instagram or something. And speaking of Instagram and Twitter and stuff, Toby's on both. You can follow him on Instagram at his name, Toby Windham, TobiWindham. Toby, it's like Windham, but Windham. And Twitter, Toby Windham 3, because he is the third.
The third.
Yeah, that's right. So let's talk about some of the roles you've done, because we've had one of the, I think the last actor I had in here was Robert Knepper, and he's like on Prison Break. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard that podcast.
Yeah, he's a great, great dude. What's cool about him is he plays both like extreme of bad and good.
Mm-hmm.
And do you like, what do you like doing?
I'm usually like the everyday guy, like
yeah.
the everyman. And a friend once told me, he's like, so you play the victim a lot. Like things are always happening to you and people have to root for you and all that type of stuff.
You know, I think that's what your walk the prank character is too. It's just you're the guy who everybody relates to and
yeah.
like you're like the sense of ground, like grounding for everything.
Yeah, that's usually what I get, man. The guy that kind of carries the story and moves the story, and then people are like, man, I feel bad for him, or man, I want him to win this time. So
yeah. And oh, you've done some of the classics, Christmas Carol, Midsummer Night's Dream.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Slither.
I did that here. That was my first thing in LA. I did it with Chalk Repertory Theater, which is a dope theater. I still work with them every now and then. But it was like it was a new play that they wrote, and it was about the beginning of time and how snakes relate to like Adam and Eve, and then like, you know, in the South where people like have a religion of snake handling and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just talking about snakes, man, and how we slither in and out of each other's lives and stuff.
Oh, and is that still gonna happen still? Are they still doing that play with other people or
she should. I haven't heard much about it since that time.
That's interesting.
But it was a cool play. It was
yeah.
a cool piece.
Death
we did it at
salesman?
The Hollywood Cemetery too, so it was kind of like, it was magical. Yeah,
that's creepy. I thought when I thought Slither, I thought it was that movie.
Slither,
have you heard that movie? I think it was directed by James Gunn.
I think I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think when I looked that up whenever I got this.
Oh,
play.
Yeah. That, this is not the script that I was expecting.
I wasn't expecting this.
And let's see. And you also, you have your own production company.
Yeah, Renovation Productions.
Why did you decide to start that?
So I was in undergrad and I was in a directing class and the teacher was like, okay, so you guys got to develop your own piece. And it was just three of us in this class and it came and then we had like 2 weeks to bring in something that we wanted to do. And so it came that day that she was like, okay, what do you want to do? And my friend Luke, he was like, oh, he had this dope thing that he wanted to do. And I was like, oh man, that's dope. My friend Dustin, he had this dope thing that he wanted to do. And the teacher got to me and I was like, I don't know. And then finally I was like, I want to do something about blackface minstrelsy. And she was like,
of course.
Oh my goodness, that's cool. But see, I didn't even know why I said that. I had no clue at the time.
You don't even know where it came from, right?
No, this is still like, after I said this, I had to start doing research. And it started at that point. It just came out of my mouth. And then I was like,
yeah.
She was like, cool, that's going to be amazing, Toby. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I started doing this. And then I saw a need to have other black people together in my undergrad, and we developed this group called BA. It was called Black Actors, and it was me and my wife now. She was my girl. She wasn't even my girlfriend then, but she's my wife now, and two other dudes, and both of them are in New York still acting. And we started making this thing. It was called BA, Black Actors. We did this show. We developed this minstrel show, and it was really amazing. It brought the entire UAB community together. They were watching the show. And then after that, I saw my purpose in I can bring people together to create some dope art. And so that's when it was like, I'm going to do this on a larger scale. And I used to we kept producing at UAB, I went to ACT and we kept producing things and all of it was guerrilla. Like it was just like, yo, you got the time. Let's go over here. I'm going to produce something in my apartment. I'm going to produce something. And then I was like, they never would let me on the Gary stage at first. And that's the big theater in San Francisco, the Gary Theater. All the greats have performed there. And they wouldn't let me on the stage when I first got there. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get there. I'm going to perform in the Gary. And so I put something in the Gary. It was just in the bar. It was in there, but it was in the bar portion. And I was like, I performed at
still
the
counts.
Gary Theater.
Still counts.
Let's go, baby. Gorilla. Let's go.
I love that. It's like, and this is a common theme between a lot of the people that come in through those doors is if nothing's coming to you, you just got to create it yourself.
Build
it. and really create your own opportunities.
Yep. And that's exactly what I did, bro.
That's what you're doing, Renovation Productions.
Mm-hmm.
And just be on the lookout because you got some stuff coming up.
Oh yeah, we got a feature film that we're about to shoot in New Orleans, so we're about to do that.
That's crazy. You go back to the South a lot still?
I just had a baby, man, so I haven't been in a year.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I haven't been back in a year, but I'm gonna go. My sister-in-law is graduating in May, and I'm going back to see her and also take the baby around all my family.
It. How's your family they're watching you, man. I mean, there's a huge difference between the South and LA and just like the world. Like it's always fun to we got guys here that, you know, from small towns in Massachusetts and the East Coast, and you know they're seeing all the stuff their friends are doing out here in Hollywood and stuff, and it's kind of fun for them to tell their families and show them what's happening with them, right?
I love it, man. They my family's been supportive since the beginning, man, and all of my cousins, man, everybody is so proud of what's happening. I mean, but they've always been proud, man.
Yeah.
This has been they've known it before I did, to tell you the truth, man. They was like, oh yeah, you gonna get it. And it was like all that doubt that would creep into my head that I had to be like, you know what, forget it, let me go, I can still do this. They help push that out whenever it would come, you know what I mean? They'll be like, yo, you got this, man, you got it. I remember I told my uncle once, I was like, I want to be George Clooney, man. Like, George Clooney is the man.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, just be Toby. Just chill out. Just be Toby. It's going to happen. And I was like, but it's happening for George Clooney right now. and that's just George Clooney has his journey and I have mine. You know what I mean? And mine comes with, with whatever I'm going through right now and developing things, and me randomly saying, yeah, I want to do blackface minstrelsy, or me being like, all right, I'm about to go in here, I'm about to kill this audition of Walk the Prank, and then I get it. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, the audition, how'd that go? Like, well,
it was cool. It was, so I walked in, and all of the kids, all of them were there, the four kids that are on the show, and they brought me in individually with each one of them, and just to see if we had chemistry in it. And it gelled. It was good. We had good scenes. Then they were like, okay, let's bring everybody in together. And they brought us all in together, and they said, all right, improv what you guys would do right before a prank. And so we just started improvising and talking and stuff. And I made them do jumping jacks. And I was like, now do your face like it's a mean face. Now a sad face. Now I didn't do that face. And so we started doing that. And what happened is that, well, this is what they told me. It's like, we saw you guys instantly become a family in that moment. And I was like, cool. And I like to say, man, I think the kids chose me and not me choosing the kids, because they had to feel comfortable. It was about them feeling comfortable, because all of us was new to this situation. Like, there's not an hybrid comedy on TV. And I don't think there's ever been, where you're doing pranks and scripted stuff.
Yeah.
And so all of us had to trust each other in a whole different way. And then the thing is, it's not funny improv. We can't tell on ourselves. We have to be like straight, real improv. And so they saw all of that.
And then you laugh at it later. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Like a refrigerator joke.
Yeah, but in it, you gotta be strong and stay in character, and yeah, there's no way I'd be able to do that. That's crazy. Yeah, I would break. I mean, some of my favorite things, like when I watch like SNL, I love watching when the characters break. And
Jimmy Fallon, he made a career. Love that. And I mean, I watch him to break, because it's so fun. It's so fun.
Yeah. So and it's always fun to watch that kind of stuff. But yeah, for pranks, the longer that you can just keep it going. And then you just laugh about it afterwards, and it makes it so much funnier.
Speaking of that, man, we had one, and this guy he walks up, and we had I think it's like somebody jumps out of a pool or something, and the guy the young man, the one of the kids, Herman Bryce, he was playing in the tub, and he was like, my doll is gonna come to life. It's gonna come to life. And so he dunks the doll in the water, and then the dude comes back downstairs. He comes back up, and a grown man pops out of the tub. This guy, he was on the hook the whole time. So the grown man pops up, and he's like, okay. He comes back downstairs, and he was like, sir, he's talking to me. He was like, your son's toy just came to life. And I was like, oh my goodness, this dude is still on the hook. And so what we did was, like, they were like, let's keep going. Let's go. Let's go. We go back upstairs. We move the grown man that's the toy. We move him into the shower. They're like, go in the shower. And then we go back up there, and he's disappeared. And he's like, sir, I promise you, there was a grown man standing right here in this tub. And like, the fact that we were able to keep going past that, man, it's amazing to watch that.
Oh, we can go farther with this.
We can keep going.
Yeah. Oh, what? Yeah, that is a gift.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a gift for you guys. So let's go back to some of your acting. What are some of the, like, or I guess let's just pick one. What's the hardest role that you've had to do? Here, I'll give you a resume too, if you want to skim that again, just to maybe delete it from your memory.
The hardest was Seven Guitars.
What was that about?
I play a blues singer, man, and I'm not like the greatest singer, but I'm a blues. I like
that's
the blues.
That's a theater
that's
piece.
A theater
so you actually
show.
Had to do that live.
Had to do that
can't,
live.
Can't lip sync that.
Nope. And that was a really hard piece for me, just to learn all of the music, man, and also just August Wilson. His rhythm and stuff is so good and rich, and I just wanted to do it so much justice. I worked really hard on that, so that was a hard one.
When you do the music stuff, you actually sing and you have to.
Yeah. I had to learn a whole bunch of music. I had to learn to sing the Lord's Prayer, man, which is really hard.
Oh,
like,
sure.
The whole, like, the, what is that called? Octaves and stuff?
Yeah.
Or range?
Yeah.
It goes everywhere, man, in that song. But I think eventually I got it. I remember in rehearsal, though, I was so embarrassed. At my singing, like, this is like the third day of rehearsal.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
so embarrassed
still
at
really
my
green.
Singing
yeah, just.
That I put my head down. And then one of my friends, she looked across. She was like, it's okay. You got it. I came in the next day, and it got better and better. And by rehearsal, like I had it. Like it was good, but it was hard. It was tough.
Yeah, so it was a gradual confidence that you had to get.
It's that process, man. It's trusting that process. So
yeah. See, I think I'm the opposite. Where it's if I went in with my head down, the next day I would just. All right, let's just go. I'll just go the exact opposite and just like almost where it's just insanely goofy.
Yeah.
And then maybe I'll find the balance after that. But yeah.
But that's part of my like that's something that I failed at. Like I fell flat on my face when I tried to sing that song. But I always knew in the back of my head, man, it's like you got to go at it again, man. Plus I had to part. Like I have to do it justice. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and what helped me is that. In that part, the character is singing about his mom who passed away. And so I knew that I could get there and it could also be emotional. It can also take me to a place for myself that's like that can ring some like truth to it.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't have to be like exactly on the note because you talking about something that's deep.
That's what I'm saying. I prefer honesty over pitch any day.
Let's go, baby.
You know what I'm saying?
Me too.
Yeah. That's what you want. Like, and that goes for anything, music, like any music. Like it's all you want is honesty.
I agree.
Then if you can get that, then it doesn't matter what else is there. Cause yeah, and you're not judging, like you're not Randy Jackson, like a little pitchy dog. Like, no, you know, you're watching it. You're in it. You know, if you can portray that.
Yeah.
Now you mentioned that was like a failure that you had that you were able to, you know, and then you risked again. And that's your motto. Risk, fail,
risk again.
And like what other things in your life have led you to come up with that and follow that mantra?
So much, man. First off, the basketball, man. I really thought I was going to be good at basketball. I failed. You know, I made the team, but I never played. And I was like, let me go back into this theater thing. Grad school was constantly, man, constantly.
Yeah, it's just acting is just
it's hard.
Nobody realizes this. Unless you actually just talk to actors, is like when you don't get that audition that you thought you nailed or things like that, it's heartbreaking. I remember I had an audition for a jazz school and I didn't get it. And like when I found out that drive, I was driving, dude, I couldn't even see because I was crying so much. Like I was so,
it's real, man.
I was so bummed out. And like, and all these thoughts go in your head. Should I even continue? Should I like, where do I go from here? Like what, like, how did I? I'm so dumb for even thinking that, you know, I had a shot.
All of
like,
it.
Every single thought is just going in your head a million miles a minute. And the thing about actors is they put themselves in that position
constantly.
Yeah, so much. Like I hate auditions. Like I don't know if it's something you get used to as far as rejection goes, or but it's just like. The thing that you need to get used to is just looking ahead and just keep moving.
Someone told me once that if they're not saying no, you're not auditioning. You're not in the rooms. And when I heard that, it switched something for me because it's like I kind of want to hear you. I want to go in. And auditions now are me being able to do my work. Like mm-hmm. I get to show you a little bit of me in this 5-10 minutes that I'm in this room. And if you say no, it's all good because I'm going to get into another room.
Yeah.
And eventually I'm going to get a yes. And it's like, and so when I heard my teacher say that, I was like, oh, it switched something on. So it's like, and that's where it came from, man. Like, oh, I can go in here. And as long as I put out everything that I want to put out and I fail or I succeed, as long as I put it out.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
See, I like that you go out there and you just give them you.
That's
and
it. Like, that's
and
all
then
I can do.
Really, it's their choice. It's not that you did a bad or a good job. You did what you were about, and it's now just their choice if that's right for the role or if that's right for anything. But at least you know you did
what you had to do. But it's hard. Like it's hard to be able to go in there and do you.
So all right, I'm gonna start auditioning then. All right, yeah, you.
I'm glad I inspired you, Chris. Right on, dog.
All right, so anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, man? I mean, you got a lot going on, dude.
I've enjoyed myself, man.
This
I don't know
fun,
if there's
right?
anything specific.
Oh, 2K, real quick.
Oh yeah, let's go.
2K.
What's your team?
Well, this sucks.
You're a Warriors fan. I can feel it.
Okay, but that's just because of Westbrook. He's just a monster in that game. I just give it to him and I just charge. Like I'm not good at that game by any means.
Uh-huh.
But I love it. I've been playing it for years and my players is kind of the jam for me. Like
you create.
Create your own story. And the trick is like I buy that game every year and it's the exact same thing every year, like, to the point where they use the same sound bites, they use the same, it's the exact same thing, but I have to have it. I even got it on my phone.
Oh, for
real?
And
I started playing it on my phone, but the thing that sucks is I know it's just tricking me, because they're using the same like Kevin Harlan clips, and like the same commentary, the same moves, the motions haven't changed for years, like, so it's bothering me, yet I love it, man.
I've always played video games, but I got serious into just like NBA 2K, probably like, what, 2K7, something like that.
Yeah.
And I would play.
The best basketball game.
I would stay up until like 5 a.m., from like midnight to 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah, me too.
After like going to school and be like, boom. And then me and my boy, we started playing and we got really competitive. Like it got bad. Like people be like, we'd be like about to fight. Like if somebody lost, we'd be about to fight. He didn't pull knives and everything out on me. But
why are you giving me heat for for Golden State? Like, is that your team? That has to be your team, right?
No, I'm a Boston Celtics fan.
What?
I was there when KG was there, Paul Pierce, baby. I was doing it. But I mean, I'm from Alabama, so KG has always been my favorite player, and whenever he moved, I just moved with him.
Oh, you just followed him? So T-Wolves?
Yeah. T-Wolves. I was T-Wolves, and then he moved to Boston, and then I was like at an age where they won, and I was like, I ain't moving no more. Boston's a good franchise to like be with, so let me just stay here.
Oh, they're great. Yeah. Are they in first place right now, or they just lost
that spot?
Huh?
We're tied with Cleveland, but I hope we get first place, because then we'll play like Chicago or something like that.
Dude. Boston's a fun team to watch.
Dude, Brad Stevens, Isaiah Thomas.
I love Isaiah Thomas because I'm short.
Yeah, like, come on, like, me too. Yeah, so I mean, I'm average height.
Oh, yeah. This is an audio podcast. He's totally average height, everybody. And, so I just love watching what he can do against all those guys,
he's,
you know?
Dude, he's a magician,
he's a killer in the especially, you know, Mr. Fourth Quarter. Like, it's crazy to watch, so, you know.
But your boy Russ, though, he put it down this season.
Oh, no, I'm a Lakers fan.
Oh, okay.
But I can't play with them on 2K because they suck.
Yeah, so yeah,
I need at least someone that's good. So, yeah, but, I've been a Lakers fan my whole life, and...
Nice, man.
It's kind of fun watching them every once in a while.
I think they got a good nucleus, man. They're gonna be all right.
Yeah,
be good.
I ran into Julius Randle one time at a hotel in Vegas, and I had to take a picture with him. And it was I want to say it was the season. It was right before his rookie season where he broke his leg the first game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I asked for a picture, and he did not look happy about it. And so I have this picture of like a selfie of me and Julius Randle bending like halfway down because I'm like a third of his height.
Yeah.
And he's just not smiling.
Wait, had he already hurt his leg?
No, yeah. It was a season right before that.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, so it's just super funny that I got a picture with the new Lakers rookie coming out, and he was just like not into it.
I geeked out when I got a picture with D'Angelo Russell, man. And I didn't know I would geek out like that. Like,
oh,
I
yeah.
saw him and I was like, yo, bro, get a picture with me. He was like, yeah, I got you, man. He's cool.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And he just had a huge game.
Yeah. Yeah. That buzzer beater.
Yeah. So for his grandma. Yeah. This will air Thursday. So it's pretty topical. We can stay in topic
a little
bit.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, so all right, man. Well, I'll see you on the courts in 2K. We'll play each other online.
You don't want to see me, man. I'm telling you, I'm a beast, dog.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather go to an audition or something, right? if that happens. All right, so Walk the Prank, Disney XD, Disney Channel, Toby's Uncle Will, and he just watch it, and you guys will understand what we're talking about. We got kids that are just they're pros. They're pros, and
for real.
And some of the stuff they're coming up with is outrageous, and like. I mean, they got the huge productions for these pranks, so it's just it's you'll never see these anywhere else.
You won't. Yeah. Check it out. Walk the Prank.
Yeah, Walk the Prank. Follow him once again on Twitter. Toby Windham 3, and then Instagram. His name, Toby Windham.
That's me.
And anything else? Oh, before we get out of here, I always ask for any advice for like you know that you learned along the way through your resume, through your career, like anything you want to. You want to give to people that you learn that you think, you know, our listeners should hold on to as they strive for, you know, getting to where they want to be.
Yeah, I had a moment in my career where somebody left the theater. I was doing a show and someone left the theater. And it really affected me. I was like, oh my goodness, man, they may be leaving because of me. They may be, am I bad? Am I doing what I need to do? And then I went to a concert. I saw Trombone Shorty.
Oh, yeah.
He's dope.
He's awesome.
I fell asleep at this concert. I woke up.
I guess it wasn't that music, awesome.
No, it was. This is what I mean, though. Like, I was watching it. I fell asleep because the music was that good. It just washed over me, man. It was like very amazing. And I looked up there. He was still up there. People were walking around. People were jamming. People would go leave and get food. And it was in that moment that it hit me that dude, no matter what happened in the audience, he kept giving the best show that he could give. And that stuck with me, man. And that's what I want to all the listeners. Just continue to do whatever you do. Just do the best show that you can. And it doesn't matter about everybody else that's shifting and moving. As long as you're doing your best, everybody else had their day. The reason I fell asleep is because I had a long day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't because he wasn't dope, because he was.
Yeah, it absorbed you.
And that's it, man. And that's what I want people to take away.
I love
that. Do your best.
Like I play music and there's a lot of shows where basically just like the musical wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's funny because we drag all our gear, we drag all of our stuff over, and it takes a long time to set up. We finally play and it's just like, oh, we're the background to this cocktail party. So nobody really cares what we're playing. And so, we look at each other, but we still just, let's just give them the best we can. Like, who cares if they're just trying to talk over us, or if they're trying, like, you just want to, at least you gave them you.
That's it, baby.
Yeah. So there we go. We got Toby Windham and Walk the Prank. And thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks, Toby, for coming in, man.
Thank you for having me.
And but speaking of pranks, one of my favorite pranks, I played this on the show years ago on the water cooler, but my friend had this app that's totally illegal, and where you can get two guys to just call each other.
I heard about this.
Yeah, at the same time. And then you could just listen in on what they talk about. And so my friend did that to me and a buddy of mine, Taylor, where one night at 7:30, I get a call from him and I answer it, but he answers it thinking that I just called him. So it's just a bunch of small talk niceties. And I'm going to end the show with the audio of that just because it's kind of funny and it's appropriate because we're talking about pranks. Till then, just a reminder, the music you're listening to right now is available on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon. Just click the banner, or excuse me, just go to chrisloxmana.com, click the Amazon banner if you want to shop on Amazon. Anything just helps support the show, and leave a ranking and review on iTunes. Watch Walk the Prank, and just enjoy yourselves, everybody. Until then, my name is Chris Loxamana. This has been Resume. We'll let you know.
Going on?
What's happening, man?
Nothing, just chilling at home.
Huh?
Just hanging out at home. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. Just eating some soup.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Soup. I don't know. Jen made it.
Oh, right on.
A Thai coconut thing.
Really good. Wow. That sounds delicious. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, man. What can I do for you, buddy?
But yeah, I'm making some tea,
Yeah.
And I was probably gonna do a little bit of reading before we take the dogs out for a last walk. But yeah. That tea sounds good though.
Oh, who are you with?
What?
Who are you with?
It's me and Lauren.
Oh. Nice.
Wait, I think you cut out for a second. What were you saying?
Oh, nothing. Sorry, man. My mouth must be full.
Okay, yeah. Can I help you with anything, or you just want to talk about your soup and stuff?
You called me, dude.
No, dude, you called me. That's crazy, because my phone was vibrating, and I had pressed the green button. I swear that my phone was ringing.
I'm trying to laugh this whole time.
Whoa. Yeah, because I was typing a text message. But yeah, whoa, that's really crazy. I guess our phones just wanted to connect for a little bit.
Yeah, it was good hearing from you, man.
Yeah, you too. Well, enjoy the soup, and I'll talk to you. I'll see you this week.
All right.
All right, see peace.
Bye.